TSN Hockey Insider Dave Poulin, as always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
Very well. I thought we might see a Logan Brown or hear a Logan Brown highlight this morning. That crossed my mind as I caught that great comeback in St. Louis. It didn't look good early for them, but interesting decision to leave the goalie in at 3-0 simmer. I like those decisions. That's how you build. You know, Greg Berube makes a decision to leave Binnington in the game, and they come back and get it done for him. So a lot of positives there in a win like that against the Tampa Bay team. And things continue to roll in Florida, guys. I caught the comeback in that game in the third period as well, so I had it flipping pretty good last night.
Yeah, no, I agree that the one off the stanchion there, that was as wild as it gets against Binnington by Cernak. And for Florida, how impressed, first of all, under Andrew Brunette, but more importantly, under Barkov, able to find a way to win some hockey games.
Yeah, really, really impressive, and it speaks to the depth, you know, of what they've been able to do. And probably quietly, I would say Billy Zito has done a really, really good job down there. I get asked often about you know, preparation for the GM role and, you know, what the best route is. Young guys will say to me, you know, what the best route is. And ideally, you want to do everything. But Billy Zito, a former agent, you know, who then came up through the assistant GM role in Columbus under Yarmo, and he's just done a really, really good job down there. And in the agent side of it, you see so many different aspects, and you look at the other side of the equation and what it takes to motivate a player and what it takes, you know, different makeups of players, and you probably get a deeper look into an individual player than a lot of other positions in hockey do. So they've done a great job down there, and Andrew Brunette continues to impress, and good for him. It's fun to watch.
There is a clear, it would appear, top three in the Atlantic Division right now. We'll see what comes of Boston as the season goes on, but Tampa, of course, has a two-time championship pedigree. The Leafs are playing maybe as good as they ever have under Sheldon Keefe right now, and then Florida just keeps rocking and rolling. I mean, I'm projecting ahead to the end of the regular season, but how important is it going to be for somebody to win that division? Because somebody's second place is playing third place. And so, as a wise man once said, Dave, somebody's going home early who thought they were going home late and getting knocked out in the first round.
And one of those teams did go home early last year.
Yes.
the team that's sitting in that precarious 2-3 spot right now in Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, it lets you emphasize games in December is what it does, JR. It lets you say how important tonight is. And, you know, I love looking at from the outside, at looking at the makeup of locker rooms and the makeup of teams. And I think we know that the makeup of that Tampa Bay locker room is pretty good. And, you know, they've been able to get through a whole bunch. Florida, I still think, is in a growth phase of their locker room. And Toronto is closer than they've ever been in their locker room. And they just went through a West Coast swing, and I was asked about the fact they practiced every day and, you know, didn't get a day off even despite winning the games. And it reminded me of the really good teams that I played on, and particularly in Philadelphia and in Boston. When you went out west, that was a big carrot because there was only one West Coast trip. And we would skate every day, and it was part of it. But we skated at 8 a.m. in the morning. So we were up at 6 a.m. We skated every day at 8 a.m. and at 9 o'clock your day was over, you know, in terms of work. But you worked every day, and that was the emphasis on it. So I'm watching the makeup of those three teams. It's really going to be fun. And then you've obviously, you know, on the other side of the Metro, you've got the Washington Capitals rolling along nicely with their championship pedigree. And I would say still the up-and-coming Carolina Hurricanes. So it's going to be fun in the East. Boston had better get it together pretty quick, I would say. You know, you don't want to let other teams linger too long, and there's still some teams that were expected to do better. Philadelphia certainly was expected to be better. But then the surprises in both Columbus and Detroit. I mean, Brad Larson, you rarely hear any mention of what Columbus has done, but they're a young group and they're off to a nice start as well, and they're causing some problems for people, as Detroit did last night in Boston.
We hear Philly's going to be good every year. As far as Toronto, does it feel different
that's a
this
good
year?
Point.
No, but that's a really good point. Yeah.
No, you're right. But they made a lot of changes.
Well, that's exactly. They keep moving around the furniture. And honestly, I love Chuck Fletcher, but it reminds me of Minnesota. Does it feel Toronto different in Toronto, Pauline? I know they have to win in the playoffs, but are you feeling more confident about the group if you were entering a playoff?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and I live in the city and I see them more often, but A lot of reasons, and part of it is what we just talked about, and that's the locker room and the makeup of the locker room. And it's such a, I mean, you can create a perfect locker room in your mind, but you don't know what goes on when you're outside of it. And I'm watching now, and, you know, there's some factors that are coming into play that might not even still be in that locker room. And when I say that, players that went through here at various points, as Zach Bogosian and Joe Thornton, had impact on guys. And that impact lingers after those guys are gone. And it appears to me to be a very, very strong room right now, just with the exact components they've added. There's certainly more veteran in there. Jason Spezza plays a really important role for this team, guys. He's playing very well, but he plays a really important role for this team, and he's content to play an important role in a fourth line, some nights seeing 8 minutes. And so that's where you're going through different phases. Like, how do you handle a year like this? I'm big on breaking the schedule into different pieces. This year you have the natural break of the Olympics that we think are still going to happen. That'll be 3 weeks in February. So you can stagger all different parts of your season and say, okay, here's our month of December. Here's what it looks like. You know, and I liked when I looked at December and so I was on the road earlier in December, and then I was home a good portion over Christmas. And actually Ottawa has a pretty favorable December schedule as well. A lot of games, but favorable with young guys being home over Christmas, which is still a big factor in a young guy's life or someone with young kids. And so I do see a difference in Toronto, though. I definitely do. And for me, a large part of it starts with Jack Campbell. There's a confidence in their goaltender. Even when Freddie was at his best, you know, there was the question of the backup. We're not even talking about the backup right now, who currently is Joseph Woll, who was 3-0. Because Campbell is so good and instilling so much confidence in this hockey team right now. And, you know, I had questions about Campbell coming in just from a standpoint of durability and, you know, whether he was truly a number one. He's proving every day that he is that.
Well, from the top of the Atlantic Division to the bottom, which is where the Ottawa Senators find themselves, and back home on a 5-game losing streak. Rest of the week, Dave, after tonight with Vancouver is at Carolina tomorrow, so back-to-back on the road against one of the better teams in the league, and then Colorado, which is getting Nathan MacKinnon back tonight, coming in on Saturday. So for a bunch of different reasons, how and the caliber of the opposition tonight, how much emphasis are the Sens putting on just trying to get back in the win column in a game like tonight?
And that's exactly what it is. It's very, very singular. You're not looking ahead at all if you're Ottawa. You've got arguably the best lineup you've had in your locker room in a while. So to look around and see a Drake Batherson back and see the line start to form like you thought they were going to form, I think is very, very positive. After Vancouver, you're going to see some teams that you haven't seen in a while. And, you know, through the next sequence of games, you know, a lot of these teams you simply haven't seen. And in a couple of years, and some guys have never seen them, some of the young guys. But it's very, very singular. You've got a team in Vancouver, and you can't even be worried about, you know, when you have your own struggles, you know, you don't worry about other teams. You simply can't. And that's what Ottawa's got to focus on. And, you know, they've got to settle in, and they've got to play their best game in a long time tonight. And their lineup lets them do that. The confidence, even of a player or two coming back into it, gives them that much more jump and that much more confidence in getting back. And you know, Boston's become a big part of this team, so it'll be a welcome addition back tonight.
Coming back off of the West Coast Wednesday night, I don't think it'll be a mega crowd, and it is Vancouver. Tough game to motivate for, or if you're the Sens, hey, man, you got to bring it tonight. Bring all the energy you possibly can.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you've been off since Saturday, and you know, you've got your legs underneath you, and a very, very disappointing West Coast trip on all fronts. And factor in everything we factored in, and it's all real. You know, they're not fictitious factors. This isn't coaches making up things that, you know, yeah, about why their team isn't playing well. There have been some real, real factors. And I don't think the trickle down from the COVID sicknesses, I don't think it's measurable. I really don't, because I think there's a mental trickle down and a physical trickle down, and we don't know what that is. We really don't. And we don't know if, okay, well, you know, when we're coming out of COVID protocol, we feel pretty good for a couple of days, and then there's always a relapse. We don't know any of that stuff. And so you've just got to continue to battle through it. But all focus to me right now is just the Vancouver Canucks and winning one hockey game and going from there and getting some positive energy. I mean, life is so much easier when you're winning hockey games and everybody's smiling and the positive energy is there. And I think you know, and I always loved the month of December as a player. I loved the build up to Christmas. I loved the energy that was in the buildings. It seemed like, you know, and it just seemed like a different energy to me for a young guy.
The Matt Murray situation kind of took on a life of its own yesterday, Dave, as he made some comments, but he's not here. He's, you know, down in the minors for the foreseeable future. Inside the Ottawa Senators dressing room, does what he had to say yesterday, does his absence from the locker room have any effect whatsoever? Or as players, do you park it and you're moving on?
You park it. You have to park it. You respect it, but you park it. I did get a chance to see the presser yesterday with Matt, and I thought he handled it pretty well. And he was pretty positive. And if you think of the key aspects that he brought up family a lot and the proximity. And, you know, we were a team in Toronto that moved the minor league team right to the same city for things like he's talking about, and the proximity factor and the ease of having your American League team close, and it's not in the same city, but it's pretty close. And he talked about being able to drive home after practice and the importance of seeing his wife and daughter. So that, the family aspect, he talked about a lot. And he also talked about Justin Peters, guys, you know, the goalie coach in Belleville, and he knew him apparently and had skated with him. So there was a comfort level there. And he just said, you know, it's been really comfortable. The energy level's been good. Now he's joining a winning situation down there. That team's on a little bit of a roll, and Troy Mann continues to do a good job down there developing no matter who he's got. And he talked about his relationship with Matt Sogard, and a young goaltender, you know, who's making his way. So everything seemed positive, and that's exactly the way he has to handle it. And, you know, I think he knows. He was asked a question about one part of his game to work on. He didn't have an answer for that, because I don't think he knows whether it's mental or physical right now. And there is the combination of, I mean, arguably the best game he's played was the one in which he was injured in, you know, that he suffered the head injury in. And, you know, was he getting everything back together? And then the unfortunate collision with Chris Kreider's knee derails him again. And so, you know what, I still think that this is a player that can come back and be a significant factor for your organization. I do. I haven't, you know, I watched goaltenders and players go through a variety of things. He's still a young guy, and I still think that, you know, that this is salvageable in every regard.
Feels like, in my estimation, Pooley at times has been a little slow to come back. He was slow to get into an exhibition game. Any red flag or nerves of the fact that he doesn't know if he can play tonight in Utica?
No, there's not for me, Simmer. I think that's part of his own growth, too. You know,
but how many times can you go down this path, though? And yeah, as I said, we talked on Monday, but yeah, I mean, there's too much of this pool. Yeah.
It's the exact same rep that Freddie Anderson came to Toronto with.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same that he came out of Anaheim with. They were uncertain about whether he could play unless he was 100%. And you know, Matt Murray, maybe this is the stage where he figures it out. Okay, you're not going to be 100% every night in the National Hockey League, Simmer. You're not. And there are guys that want to be 100% to play. Well, guess what? After day one of training camp, very few guys are 100% ever again. And I think Freddie Anderson actually worked through that when he was in Toronto, because I know coming in from Anaheim, that was the exact same thing. You know what? He's fine if he's 100% healthy, but you're never 100% healthy. You're just not. So is that something specific that you're working on with Matt Murray and say, okay, you know, your fingers tweaked, your left leg isn't sure, you're not 100%, you don't feel great, you know, your stomach doesn't feel right. Put that all behind you. Here's what we have to do. We have to battle through it. And maybe starting that first game, you know, you're saying, okay, you don't feel 100% right now, you're playing. And that's part of why they're doing what they're doing, Sim. And it has to be part of it. It has to be, because there is both a mental and a physical side to what he's going through. And, you know, and if some of it is, I have to be perfect to play, that's not going to be an effective longtime player of the National Hockey League, because it's just not.
He, when asked directly if he feels like he's being made the scapegoat for the poor start to the season by the Sens, he did say, yeah, I do feel like that. And also was asked about, you know, his thoughts on the decision, you know, and how it's been explained to him. And he says he's confused about kind of where he stands with the organization, et cetera. Again, none of us are privy to how the conversations went when he was told he was being waived and any subsequent conversations since then. I'll just simply ask the question, is the relationship between he and the team salvageable?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And some of that will be up to Troy Mann, and some of it would be up to, I would imagine, someone from Ottawa will be going down, and maybe Peter McTavish that will be going down, and maybe Pierre McGuire that will be going down to see him play, and it'll be a conversation that will be had. But some of this is what a player hears as well. I mean, you might talk to someone from management and say, well, he was communicated with, and here's exactly what he was told. And then you talk to the player and you say, okay, because I've been in meetings with three people, and afterwards it was like, well, he said this. And then the player says, well, I heard this. And, you know, but communication has to be clear here. Troy Mann will be a big part of it, as I said, as a conduit. But it also won't be, babysitting is the wrong word, but it won't be coddling at all. Mm. I mean, there might have to be some real tough love here that says, okay, you know, and it might follow up that and say, okay, what exactly weren't you communicated that you feel you should have been? You know, if I heard that, that's what I would be doing. You know, I'd be picking up and saying, okay, you know, you said you were confused. What were you confused about? Because I heard that word as well. What were you confused about? Let's clear it up right now. And that's part of it. And once again, that would probably be one of the assistant general managers or one of the support people. I don't think that's the general manager. I think it's probably a Peter McTavish role that steps in and says that. It would have been, you know, would have been a role that I filled at some point where I'd say, okay, if this isn't clear in the way we're communicating, then we've got to get better at it, but you've also got to get better at listening and hearing. Two different things.
Suspensions are always a guessing game with NHL player safety. We all had a thought of what Brendan Lemieux of the Kings might get for biting Brady Tkachuk. It ends up being 5 games. So I know I think we talked about it with you, or we did talk about it with you on Monday, but now that the decision has been rendered, what do you think of it? And I don't know if you ended up listening to the explanation, but what do you make of the entire situation?
I think it's a little light. I just do, because I think that's, you know, and I said last night on air that it'd be 10 games. I think Dregs was between 7 and 10, and I was 10. And because that's not a hockey play. And we argue so much about hockey plays and the speed of the game and whether the guy who got hit from behind turned his back at the last second and put himself in a vulnerable position. That was none of this. None. You know, it wasn't a hockey play. And so if you have a chance to eliminate non-hockey plays that are just ridiculous, then... you know, for me, it's more than 5 games, but I mean, they make their decision and I listen to their explanation and they make their decision and that's all fine and good. But to me, when you have a chance to eliminate something totally that doesn't happen very often and discourage from anybody from ever thinking about doing it again, it's more than 5 for me, but you know, they'll move forward with it.
Yeah. And are you surprised at that, Pooley, that he didn't just kind of own up to it and try to come up with a bit of a defense that he thinks Brady cut his hand on his tooth by punching him? That I thought he made a mockery of the whole thing, that I thought you would have went on the high side.
Agreed. I just do. I mean, I don't, you know, I don't have time for non-hockey plays.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a hard enough time governing the game with hockey plays. And, you know, as I don't with the slew foot for Brad Marchand, I mean, that's a slew foot. You kick both feet out from underneath and push the top back. That's what's described. And, you know, that's not arguable. And to me, even that is a hockey play. You know, it happens in the course of a game with speed and two bodies and everything else. To me, biting isn't. That's not. It's simply not. And so, yeah, And you know, I listen. I you know, I'm sitting in the seat. I'm sitting in. I listen to it. And to me, when you have a chance to control something like that, then control it.
Final question for you on tonight's opponent, the Vancouver Canucks. As bad as things have been in Ottawa, they haven't been much better for the Vancouver Canucks. And that would be a team that, based on their offseason moves, would have had higher expectations than Ottawa for this year. They just seem to me, from the outside, Dave, as a team that's kind of waffling right now, can't make up their mind on what they want to do. Is that the feel you get? And do you think something is going to happen with this organization, be it a trade, be it a move in the front office? Something's going to happen with this team fairly soon.
I do, but that's been happening for a while now, and it seems like, you know, just when it's going to happen, they win a game, they find a way to win a game and you know, cause that not to. I still think it's a player move ahead of a coach or manager. I mean, the manager holds all the cards. He's the boss, and the easiest thing to do is change a player or two, a key one, if you think there's a there's a player that's an issue in the you know, either in the locker room or on the ice.
What do you think's happened to Pettersson this year? He just seems really off.
Boy. Really off, and that surprises me because his off last year could be explained by, you know, injury and the shortened season, all that. But I don't understand his off this year. He's playing with good players. I still think he's a highly skilled player. That's a deep one and a concerning one if you're Vancouver, because as you can see, I mean, he scores a goal, they win a game. It's as simple as that.
Right. All right. Well, we'll see him and the Canucks tonight. Should be an interesting game. Appreciate the time and the insight as always, and look forward to chatting with you again on Friday.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.